T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
No bearing on this.
I think that's an interesting question, because we talk about it that way about the MVP. So I guess in theory, why shouldn't we talk about it for the defensive player of the year?
Does it matter to you?
No.
And Dibs?
No.
And you know what? Let me reverse course almost immediately, because I went to NBA.com and they have an awards vote tracker. Much like the great Ryan Thibodeau has the Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame tracker, they have a DPOY tracker, and there have been 24 votes that have been officially recorded, and all 24 voters have Rudy Gobert in first place as DPOY. Second place, Draymond Green has received 4 of 24. Ben Simmons has received 20 of 24. And then third place, you've got a series of Bam, Clint, Draymond, Jimmy, and Drew Holiday. So maybe Draymond has seen this tracker, and this is partly what prompted him to come out and say, you know, because I think he knows the writing appears to be on the wall that it will be Rudy Gobert first. It looks like Ben Simmons second, and then it would be Dede coming in third.
Right. I think that's. I think you're right on that, Dibs. And I'm sorry. The thing I missed. How many precincts were reporting?
24 of the 100. And such friends of the program as Chris Broussard, Ernie Johnson, Rachel Nichols.
See, we know names.
Zach Harper.
Wow.
Zach Lowe. Olgun Uluç from ESPN Australia has voted Gobert as well. So follow him at Olgun Uluç. ULUC. I didn't know that Omari Sankofa II had a vote either from the Detroit Free Press.
Oh, yeah, he's a beat writer.
Yeah, Joe Varden voted Gobert. Mike Singer.
Who does he work for, Mike Singer?
The Denver Post.
Okay.
He's the Gamote.
We need to get that guy on, man. Oh, man.
Rob Parker.
I don't know why. Yeah. By the way, if you ever need to know anything more about Philadelphia fans, there's a play last night where Embiid got fouled driving on the baseline. Herter fouled him, I would say, 25 feet from the basket. Embiid took two more dribbles, made another move, and dunked. And they said foul before the shot, and it wasn't even close. It was about a minute and a half before the shot. The Philly fans still chanting, "Ref, you suck." I mean, you can't even get it right. It's the worst. It's the worst. And it's, you know, to borrow, it's why we can't have nice things, and it's why fans don't know the game.
Refuse.
Fans don't know the game. I'm saying it. They don't. They don't know the game.
But
and
they're blind.
They
they're just rooting
Derek
for their
Rose.
Team.
What? So does that mean? Does that mean? What do you want? Do you want the ref to cheat in favor of your team? Is that what you really want, fans? Just say yes. Fair enough.
This ain't MLB. We're cheating this. Okay.
What I really want, Steiny, is I want them to do away with the continuation rule, because it is applied so unevenly so as to make the old rule unrecognizable. It used to be where if you were contacted and you didn't dribble – and you continued on with the shooting motion, you got the continuation, you got the and one. Well, now, and I think this is what's led to the scourge of get a bump outside the three-point line and throw it at the rim, knowing that there is continuation. So if a three-point shooter gets bumped, takes a step, doesn't dribble, and shoots a three, we don't give him continuation because we're trying to eliminate the three free throw scourge that has befallen our league. But if the player does the exact same action inside the three-point line, gets bumped, takes a step, shoots a shot, he's going to get an and one because even if he misses the shot, we're willing to give two free throws, but we're not willing to give three. It's a joke.
I kind of get your point, Dibs. I feel him, Stani.
It's awful.
Well, continuation is applied in different ways in different spots on the floor.
Yeah.
No doubt. And also, you know what I'm going to say. The way we officiate the players on the perimeter is a joke. You literally cannot touch them. And that's just preposterous. It's absolutely preposterous. It's
Clippers
one of my
got a bad whistle last night. Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Dude, Reggie Jackson got slugged in the head. Something you see on Grand Theft Auto. It went to the ground. I was worried about him. He got up, but no call. And then Mitchell, you can't even breathe on him. I just hate when it feels like it's one-sided. I know they weren't cheating. Kawhi got ran through. He had the ball, and he's looking like, ref, blow it, blow it. And I get physicality, but it was just like Donovan Mitchell comes with the ball, blow on him, foul. It's like, I just felt like it was one-sided.
Yeah, I get it, Goo. I'd forgot when I was listening to you. I was listening earnestly until I remembered. Until I remembered, you have the Clippers going to the Western going to the NBA Finals.
Even if that hits, it ain't. That ain't. Oh, I got it right. I ain't that dude. Yeah.
What'd you think of the Clippers' last possession?
I had Steve Kerr vibes. Call a timeout. I know we're in a new era. Call time out. Just let your players breathe. You didn't get a shot off, but Gobert in space and even Ingles. That was great communication, great defense on Morris. But call a timeout, Dibs. What happened to just slow it down? Woosah. Deep breath. Let's draw a play. That was just pickup basketball that blew up in your face. And the Warriors, I could get you two instances or three where, you know, Kerr just lets it manifest, but then what happens when it doesn't manifest? Use your T.O. I'm that guy, man. Timeout. Pat Riley would have called a timeout. Phil would have called a timeout. To me,
Phil was notorious for letting him play.
Exactly.
But but he would call a timeout. That to me was like, we're so happy we're only down three. Timeout. We gonna go to the chessboard on this one. Ain't going to be no, we don't get no shot because it's all haywire. We going to the lab.
Bad News Bears breaking training right now on you. Let them play. Let them play. A lot of times you can get a better look on a broken floor than you can off a set piece. Kyle, break
Warriors,
the time.
Warrior Lakers, last possession. You would think what Dibs said is conventional wisdom. What happened there? No shot. Call a timeout. Talk about it and... you know, give it its proper importance.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Ty Lue said after the game that the reason he did not call a timeout was ironically so the Jazz wouldn't take Rudy Gobert off the floor. They thought they could get Gobert on the perimeter and expose him. They got Gobert on the perimeter, and he blocked the shot into the second row.
I like it. Gobert made a hell of a play.
Yeah.
He also knew Gobert. The reason Gobert made a great – well, one of the impressive things to me about that Gobert play was he knew how much was on the clock. So he knew that he could contest the first shot and he was going to have trouble getting the second one off. Gobert was terrific there. But also the thinking, Goo, is Utah's got one of the best defenses in the league. You don't want them to set up their defense. But
you know what,
yeah,
Dibs?
Didn't work out.
Real quick, it's roulette. You never think it's going to roll on green, right? So when you have that thinking of, oh, we can get them, you never think you're not going to get a shot off. And that was the green on roulette.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Sorry. <Okay. laughs> Vegas vibes, yeah.
Is green good or bad?
bet.
It's good when you're on it, but yeah, it, green is, I think, what, 32 to 1 odds?
Yeah, right. So. And yeah, you fall off if you hit green. Yeah, if you ain't on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Night.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to try to give away $1,000. The cash contest coming up right on the other side. And also, big news out of Santa Clara. The 49ers, we know about their injuries that have occurred this past week, and we're going to tell you how they have rectified that problem, and it has come in a very forceful way. We'll tell you what that's about on the other side on 95.7.
Now, back to Steinie, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7, The Game.
All right, Brian Anderson joining us momentarily, works for Turner Sports, and he was in Philly last night doing the Philadelphia 76ers-Hawks game. But first, let's try to give away some money. It's time for the Splash for Cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word BAND, B-A-N-D, to 72881. That's BAND. To 72881. It's brought to you by your local Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places. It's a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Remember, a winner has come from our show in the past, so you're going to want to participate. Dibs, if I lay $1,000 on you right now, what are you doing with it?
I'm buying a 3-wood, first and foremost, Steinie. I need I'll probably get a 3-wood and a 5-wood. I have a driver that I love, the Maverick, Callaway Maverick. So I'd probably pick up a 3-wood and a 5-wood, and with whatever cheddar is left over, probably get a tee time. I don't know about Pebble. I don't know if I'll have enough left to get down to Pebble Beach, but probably 2 clubs and a tee time is how I'd spend my grand.
What's up, guys? It's Brooksy.
Yeah, and that's actually something we should ask Brian Anderson about, the Brooks Bryson, good for golf or bad for golf?
Well, the latest I saw is Brooksy said his rivalry with DeChambeau is good for golf. Brooksy's going all in.
Yeah.
I like it. Goo, yeah, what are you doing with the foul?
Goo, you got to turn your mic on, Goo.
You guys are, Goo, thank you, Dibs. You guys are going to judge me. Can I say
we already judged you for the flag on the play.
I was at the gym. Somebody broke into my locker. I didn't share this with you guys.
Okay.
I'll tell you later.
All right.
That's a good tease, though.
I'll tell you what.
That's a great
tease.
That is
a good tease, and Goo with the assist to our next guest, Brian Anderson, a selfless display of restraint. He works for Turner Sports. He was in Philly last night. He also does the Milwaukee Brewers game. Brian Anderson. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, man.
Oh, of course. Great to be with you guys. How's everything in San Francisco today?
It's great. It's great. And I wanted to ask you first. You were at a game last night for, I think, what, the first time in a while. How was it just being in an atmosphere like that again?
I got to tell you, man, I got a little emotional. I'm not joking.
Really?
When that first wave of the introductions came through, the national anthem, I hadn't called an NBA game in an arena since March 10th of 2020. So I did the bubble. You know, I was in the bubble in Orlando, and then of course we did the NCAA tournament. But yeah, just being in the arena, it was full. You know how Wells Fargo Center is, too. I mean, that place is rocking.
Yeah.
So it was loud. It was full. It was an NBA playoff game. It was all of that. So it was great. I felt like, you know, we had made it. We'd made it through it. So
yeah.
Jim Jackson and I are kind of looking at each other and our stats guy, and we're just all very relieved and thankful. And all those little nuisances that we talked about all those years about just having to deal with crowds and trying to get in and out, you know, the old exit plan. We didn't even care last night. I think it took us an hour to get back to the hotel, which is only about 5 miles, but it was awesome. I was so glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Newfound appreciation of so many things. I'm going to a Giants game Tuesday, and I'm looking forward to those long lines and those crowds like I like I never had before. Brian,
you
what do you
definitely get a sense, I think, of what I felt last night. And I've been in a few stadiums, obviously doing the Brewers. We've had people in the ballpark. But I think there is this communal aspect that, you know, it's not just like those who work in it, but the fans just being able to be together again. It's a different vibe and a different feel, at least for me. Last night, you let me know what you think about going to a Giants game, but it does have that feel like you missed something. You know, something was taken away from you, and now you're kind of all back together with your friends.
And these playoffs have a different vibe and a different feel because it's eight relative newcomers. What do you think of this NBA playoffs without the standard old guard and like the new guard, like the Warriors, not being involved?
Right. Yeah, it's interesting, right? There's a couple of trends going. So, number one, the team that last won a championship was the Sixers in 83. So, and then you have, I think there are, of the eight that are left, five of them have never won a championship. And so you have, you know, the Hawks haven't won a championship since they were the St. Louis Hawks back in the late 50s with Bob Pettit and company. So I think there's a lot of newness there and championship aspirations. In Milwaukee, it's been since 1971. With Lou Alcindor, later to become Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So I think I think there's a lot of anxiety, to be honest with you, with some of the fan bases who haven't tasted this kind of success and knowing that the door's open a little bit. The other trend, and it started with the Warriors and Steve Kerr, is that there are first-year coaches. So coaches in their first year with organizations, guys like Doc Rivers and Nate McMillan. You know, we saw it last year with Vogel. We saw it 2 years with Nick Nurse. Steve Kerr started that trend, of course. So it is interesting that a coach comes in to a new system and, you know, more often than not here lately, I think it's 4 out of 5 years or 4 out of 6 years, there's been a first-year coach with a team that's taken his team to the championship. So I think that's fascinating. You know, it's like I worked for the Spurs for years and all the stability they had with Greg Popovich and 5 championships, you know, and it's just not that way anymore. It hasn't been anyway.
Brian, so happy to have you guys back in the arena. You and Jim are doing a great job. I just kind of want to share with you my timeline of basketball this season. And we're in the Bay. There was some doubt with Steph Curry, how we had bounced back, where he was at. And, Brian, I got to tell you, I got a pit in my stomach that he's not playing in the playoffs at the level he displayed. And the guys on the show and I went back and forth about Steph Curry and the disciples. When are we going to see them? Maybe they're in high school and college. But, Brian, the best compliment I could give Trae Young is, and I told the guys, I get Steph Curry vibes. I'm not saying he's a great shooter like Steph, but is that just me, or do you get that watching Trae perform in these playoffs?
Yeah, totally, totally. And nobody's a great shooter like Steph, by the way, in the history of the game, except maybe other than his injured teammate. So that's a high level of standard to keep. But he is a very good shooter, and he's a fearless shooter. He's got Steph in range. And, you know, Doc Rivers made a good point to us last night. We talked to him before the game, and he said, you know, guys like Trae Young, Chris Paul is a good comp, Stephen Curry is a good comp. And reason being, not just so much for the physical stature, but just the mental acumen and the way they see the floor, the way they see the game. Trae Young, I think everybody's getting a chance to watch him now on a big stage, on the playoff stage. He's been great. He's scored 20 points in every game in these playoffs. He actually had a run of 4 straight 30-point games on the road, Madison Square Garden, and then at Wells Fargo Center in Philly. That snapped last night. But the point is, he's very adept at drawing fouls, just like Stephen is. He moves without the ball really well. He's not as tall as Curry, but he definitely has this, you know, this sense about him. He's got the it factor. He's okay playing the villain, even though he's a really nice guy. He's got no problem playing the heel and bowing up to the road fans and shushing them and doing all of the antics. So that's another Stephen Curry trait that I remember when Curry scored, 17 points in a 5-minute overtime in Portland 1 year. Yeah. We called that game, and you know, that's kind of the vibe and the feel I get with Trae Young. He's got that kind of light the fuse mentality, and he's skilled enough to do it. And nobody can guard him. I mean, he's got great handles. He he can get by anybody anytime, which has really created a lot of open shots for the Hawks, which is why they've been so good and big part of their comeback last night when they got down, you know, 18. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, he's the guy, and, you know, he's been wearing it for a few years now since he got drafted because of the trade and the Mavericks and Luka Doncic. And so, you know, Mavericks and their fans felt like they totally overwhelmed that draft. I think that gap's getting a little closer now that Trae Young is doing what he's doing in the playoffs.
Yeah. Brian Anderson joining us from Turner Sports. I want to say that game you're talking about with Curry was the game he sat the whole first half. And then yeah. they started him in the third quarter, if I remember correctly.
I don't remember that detail. I do remember he was kind of in and out and just very mediocre so-so numbers because we were talking at the table. I believe I was working with Kevin McHale. Maybe it was Steve Smith at that point. But anyway, we were kind of having a chat about, man, they got no chance if Curry's not going to do anything. But I remember the late Paul Allen was in the stands, and, you know, he never had any – facial reactions or expressions at all. He sat there very stone-faced, and our director, the great Lonnie Dale, just kept a camera on him during this whole barrage. And finally, after about the third or fourth three-pointer in that overtime, Paul Allen he dropped his jaw, literally like jaw-dropping moment, a literal one, with the guy that never moved or made any facial expressions. And man, when you can elicit that kind of response, you know you're special. Yeah, that was one of my favorite Stephen Curry memories, as a matter of fact, that 17-point overtime.
Yeah. Hey, I know you're into golf, too, and you do golf. What do you think of the Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau little feud they got going?
I love it. It's great for golf. I think both of those guys have, especially Bryson, speaking of playing the role of the heel, you know, I think they're both wrestling fans, so they kind of get it. I just talked to Bryson 2 days ago. We have... If you don't mind me promoting an event, we've got the Match 4 coming up July 6th on TNT. So that's right around the corner, less than a month away. It's going to be in Big Sky, Montana. And Bryson DeChambeau is going to be pairing with Aaron Rodgers. That's going to be a team. And then Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady are the other team. So we just got nominated for an Emmy last night, the match, and didn't win, but we got nominated, which is kind of cool, something that we all dreamed out of thin air and put on the air last year during a pandemic. So we're excited about that. But I talked to Bryson about Koepka, and they were all kind of busting his chops. You'll start seeing a lot of social releases on what we just did the other day. But yeah, I mean, he seems to be taking it well, and he likes to stir it up, and he kind of looks for the needle whenever he can get it. Of course, nobody talks as much trash as Phil Mickelson. So I think it's going to be fun at the match. And I think the whole Koepka thing is kind of raise that level of intensity a little bit. I mean, like, Tom Brady was already threatening to have Koepka caddy for him. So I don't think Koepka's going to do that, but you get the idea. So I think that's going to be definitely something that they'll be bringing up. So, yeah, I like it. I think golf needs it, and, you know, I love it. I think golf's in a really good place right now. And, you know, there's a lot of people playing golf. The numbers on the courses, if you guys are golfers, you know this, but the pandemic
has brutal.
It's killing us, Brian. It's killing us. Tee times are hard to get.
Tee time now, right?
Green fees are more expensive than ever before. You got to book more. You used to be able to show up at 2:17 on a Tuesday and get right out. It's awful out there, Brian.
I know. Everybody, it's been the one sport that I think has really flourished in a pandemic. It's kind of a perfect pandemic sport, and people have caught the bug. I think Top Golf has a lot to do with that. So then you throw all of that amateur stuff that's going on, and then you put the PGA Tour with some of this infighting they've got going, and then Phil winning at age 50, winning the PGA, and, you know, there's just a lot of good vibes, good stuff going on in the world of golf right now. You guys just had a Women's Open too that was a huge success, and man, it's terrific. I mean, the golf course just was a shining star, as it always is, at the O Club. And so congratulations on that. And one of the great golf destinations in the world right there in the Bay Area. I mean, there's some legendary courses there. My favorite book, speaking of the match, is, you know, based in the Bay Area, The Match, the book The Match. So, yeah, that you guys are in a hotbed.
Yeah, and shout out Yuka Saso, the Philippine teen, for getting it done. Brian Anderson, 95.7 The Game. I do want to ask you about fan behavior, because I think it's a fine line between the Bryson and Brooks verbal back and forth and fans saying things. And we've got problems in the NBA with fans throwing things and the U.S. men's national soccer team pelted by debris. Is it kind of a slippery slope on, yeah, we want trash talk, but can we handle it?
I would agree with that statement. I think there's a line that, you know, players need to be aware of. And, you know, I think, it's a problem. There's no doubt. There's enough fans out there that do cause problems. I mean, just like, look, I don't, you know, spend a lot of time on Twitter, but man, every time I do an NBA playoff game, my mentions are crazy. And if you, you know, like they're coming at you for stuff that you said. And, you know, if you're not looking after their guys the way they think so, it gets pretty ugly. So I've noticed a huge increase in that. So I don't know what that means anything. But yeah, I think there is a line that some of these guys could cross and they got to be careful. But again, I think there's enough publicity on it now. And, you know, we have cameras everywhere, the television side of things, and then the security cameras that the arenas have and stadiums have. People aren't going to get away with it anymore. So I don't think it's much different. I think it's just more exposed now, and players are speaking up. Fans are policing each other. And so, you know, the guy in Boston, kid's 21 years old. He's going to jail, probably lost his job. He's not going to be allowed back in the arena at TD Garden. So, you know, I don't think fans, once all this kind of gets out, they're not going to be willing to take that kind of risk eventually. So I do think it's worse, but I don't think it's way worse. I remember Nigel Morgan got drilled by a battery in San Francisco with the Brewers-Giants game. You know, that was, I don't know, 12 years ago. So it's not like it hasn't happened before everywhere. But, you know, now that you have all this technology and equipment and these cameras that can go spot people and that public shaming works, I think. So hopefully that's going to continue, and then hopefully it'll decrease with these fans just feeling like, you know, they're invincible. They can get away with whatever they want just because they bought a ticket.
Brian, let me ask you about your thoughts on Ben Simmons. Do you think if you were to talk to Doc Rivers off the record or behind closed doors, how concerned are you about just his lack of shooting and his shooting at the free throw line? You think it's a problem?
Yeah, I do. I do. But I think he also brings a lot to the table that people forget about. So I think we probably should start thinking about Ben Simmons differently, you know, than Ben Simmons, the point guard, and he's going to shoot a lot, and you're comparing him to other point guards. You're comparing him to Stephen Curry or Trae Young. He's not that guy. I know a couple of times last night, my partner, Jim Jackson, made a point that Simmons needs to take that shot, whatever that particular shot was. Instead, he's looking to pass, but boy, he made some great passes last night, and he is a monster defensively. And if you've ever seen him play live, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Sixers in person, but it's shocking how big he is. You know, I don't think you realize it when you watch it on television because he's got the ball in his hands and he's huge, man. I mean, he's a legit 6'11" and he moves so well. He moves like a point guard. And so, I think he brings a lot to the table. I do agree with Doc Rivers that if there's a problem with Ben Simmons and you don't feel like he's a contributor, then you probably should find a new way to measure success. I am 100% behind that statement. But the free throw things, they took him off the floor last night for about a minute. You know, he's got to make his free throws, and, you know, whether he does or he doesn't, I'm sure he's going to have years where he's going to struggle like this year. You know, he missed the first 10 free throws of the season or of the postseason. So that's a strategy point that Doc's going to have to manage. And as much as he does not want to take him off the floor, he did last night when they had a lead. And so I think you're going to have to do that. And that's just deal with his psyche later, because right now every opposing coach is going to do the hack of Ben. There's no question.
Right. Right. Hey, Brian, thank you so much for your time. Very generous. And can I assume you're either in Atlanta or headed to Atlanta?
No, you know what? I'm actually back in Wisconsin. ESPN has the game Friday, so we're not back on until game 4 in Atlanta. So I'll leave for Atlanta Sunday, and then we'll have 4 and 5 and potentially 7. So we kind of share, sweet, you know, we share all these series with ESPN, and so they typically take over on the weekends. We kind of have the weekdays is how it maps out. Although there's a big game tonight on TNT that Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller will be working, and we'll all be watching that. They'll have the stage to themselves tonight, and that's going to be great fun to see that one with Phoenix. See if they can keep things rolling against Denver and the newly minted MVP. So I'm looking forward to sitting down in my home in Wisconsin and watching some ball.
Well, enjoy yourself, Brian. You deserve it. And thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Good to be with you guys.
All right, Brian Anderson, Turner Sports, a fountain of sports knowledge.
He's a competitor.
I'm hoping Spinoni was paying attention because there was something. I think Brian Anderson with the subtle shout out to Brian in Palo Alto,
and it shows all that Brians Brian think Anderson, alike. Yeah,
listens to our show clearly.
Now is that was. Brian in Palo Alto or Brian in Wisconsin? It's tough to tell because I mean, and he honestly he missed a golden opportunity to drop a total BPA when he was mentioning his Emmy. That for the match, but that's gonna be fun. The match part four with Brooks and Mickelson and Brady, some big names in that one.
Odds out yet on that, Dibs, or that as we get closer to it.
Yeah, we'll have that for you today. Liquidate All Assets, 2 o'clock at social media near you. Episode 8, the Grandy Man can. And does Mark Grandy, who produces Damon Ratto and Kolsky, also produces Liquidate All Assets. He's put together a great rundown for us. The Grandy Man, Steiny, he can.
Yeah, I saw that on the text thread and had no clue who he was or who he
that's
is.
That's our guy.
Or
that's a...
He's not our guy. I couldn't pick him out of a police lineup. I don't even know who he is.
Oh, no, he is our guy. Yeah, I don't know him, but I love him.
Really?
Yeah. You almost got me into my Sally Struthers right there. For just 64 cents, Mark Grandy will get you a rundown for your podcast. Help Guru, who doesn't open the Google Doc, and help Dibs, who doesn't prepare for any show. For just 44 cents an hour, Mark Grandy will produce 2 shows at once.
Well done.
All right. Hey,
when we come back. We got a great this
Alanis
or that
Morissette
coming up. This or that, and we got ourselves a pitcher's duel in this or that. We'll tell you about it on the other side, and it's all sponsored by Outdoor Supply Hardware. Father's Day is coming, and Outdoor Supply Hardware is celebrating with deals for daddy-os and patios. Yes. Visit Osh for Primo grills, swinging patio sets, tip-top tools, and Papa Perfect gifts. Outdoor Supply Hardware, 12 neighborhood locations at an Osh area.
I'm a snob.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, 95.7 The Game wants to send you on a trip to the Silverado Resort and Spa in Napa. Enjoy a 2-night stay, a round of golf, and a $250 food and beverage credit. To be entered, download the free Odyssey app on your smartphone and favorite 95.7 The Game. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Search for 95.7 The Game and hit the heart icon in the top left-hand corner. That's it. Download and favorite, and you will be entered to win. For more details, visit 95.7thegame.com/contests. Coming up in 10 minutes, Royce Clayton, former San Francisco Giants shortstop, was their shortstop for 5 years, but he had a long career in the big leagues. Looking forward to talking to him about the San Francisco Giants and their season, which is off to a phenomenal start. Royce Clayton. I just remember he played for a few teams. I remember the Giants and the Cardinals. But 17 years, I think, in the bigs for Royce Clayton. So he was legitimate. Good fielder. Very good fielder. You want to play a little this and that?
Sure.
Is there music? Do I set it up? Okay. Yep. No. Three, two, okay. Hey, here's what we're doing. We're doing this
twos.
Once a day.
Twos and crickets.
Yeah. This is here's what we want you to do. Head to 95.7 The Game on Twitter right now. Check out our daily This or That poll. We're going to give you two things to choose between, and you can vote on Twitter. And we'll discuss our answers on the air. Are you ready for today's This or That? And it's a pitching duel. Are you ready for This or That?
Yep.
And it's a pitching duel. Spadone. Killing me. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. That's what I wanted. A yep. I needed an affirmation. Tim Lincecum or Madison Bumgarner? Tim Lincecum or Madison Bumgarner?
Why?
I'll start. I like Lincecum. He was the original Giants pitcher that caused a firestorm at the stadium. What was it? Timmy Jim Day.
Big time Timmy Jim.
Big time Timmy Jim. Yeah, I mean, tough ticket to get when he was a starting pitcher. Two-time Cy Young winner. I'm going to take Tim. And you know what? Just four times cooler than Madison Bumgarner. I got Tim Lincecum.
Lincecum. He's going with big time Timmy Jim. Yeah, the freak with the
Snoop Dogg.
Couple of no-nos. Goo, who you going with?
I'm going with Mad Bum. And the reason I'm going with Mad Bum, I mean, both of these, but there is no wrong answer, but he's in the record books on the biggest stage in the World Series, taking the ball when some pitchers would have said, nope. Get it? I can't go.
Nope.
You could count on Mad Bum. And for me, that will always be in the record books. And I feel like his career, it was longer than Timmy's. And I just think, again, what Mad Bum meant and what he did against the Royals in the World Series, guys. I got to say, Tim didn't reach those heights to where it was also record books. They're both champs. But, Dibs, I'm going with Mad Bum.
That's a tough call to make because those 16 outs will live in infamy when he came on with two outs in the fifth and got you across the line in Game 7. One of the great pitching performances for any team of all time. And he has the lowest World Series ERA among qualifiers in history. He's given up one earned run, guys, in the World Series, a Salvador Perez solo home run earlier in that series. But I'm going to side with Steiny just for the mystique of Tim Lincecum, the unique mystique of the windup, the two no-hitters, the Cy Young. It something about his mystique slightly outweighs the snot rocket blowing, gave
Cowboy.
My wife a calf for her birthday, wrecked a motorcycle in Colorado, ethos of Bumgarner. So I'm going to go big-time Timmy Jim by a nose. Yep.
I like it. I like it. Don't forget, Mad Bum's kind of a red ass, too.
He's a horse.
Lincecum's pretty chill. Yeah. Who would you rather hang out with? Tim Lincecum. No doubt.
Do you want to hit the lettuce? Yep.
Oh, sticky icky.
Yep.
Do you want to milk the cows? Nope.
Man, ain't nothing wrong with smoking weed.
That's great.
Do you want to throw the splitter? Yep. Is your career in the... Nope. His career
well, it ended better than Timmy's, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Would you rather be Bumgarner right now, giving up 6.6 per nine, or Lincecum living in anonymity, David?
I'd like to get that check if I'm Mad Bum.
Yep. Do you want to make the Skrilla? Yep.
Yeah.
Do you want to live in Manila? Nope.
The Philippines. All right.
Is your favorite ice cream vanilla? Nope.
I may need some additional help with Kyle on this one. I teased it before. We talked yesterday about the injuries to the 49ers. Running back Jeff Wilson Jr., meniscus. Tarvarius Moore, Achilles. Justin School, ACL. The 49ers have announced just now that they're canceling OTAs and next week's mandatory mini camp. The Houston Texans have also canceled their mandatory mini camp. Am I to assume it's because of the injuries? That's the only thing we're led to believe. But the 49ers, no more OTAs this week, and then the mandatory next week.
And that I'll assume, only asses assume. I'll do it here, fellas. I mean, I like it, and I like the fact that, you know, regardless of how good the player is, something's happening here. Buffalo, Springfield, and Dibs, you guys screamed and yelled at me. I still hadn't actually gotten over it, but I was just saying, when is this going to stop? And I kind of understand I don't want to bring in the pandemic and the fact that last year, the offseason workouts, what you couldn't do, but I just feel like the coaches are in the lab maybe taking this time to see what's going on or what can we do better, if that's even possible. But this is a shocker.
Well, it's not shocking, because the 49ers actually did some research and realized what OTAs stand for, and it stands for organized team ailments. And so they thought, whoa, what the hell are we doing with these OTAs? Spadoni, nothing? I mean, Steiny.
What is going on here?
Steiny, you smiled, and you did your classic nasal exhale. I got no laugh track. I got nothing from Goo, and you just simply exhaled. I'm done.
Quite frankly,
back to the tennis.
I snuck in a Mamba, Brian. Dibs. Yeah.
A what?
Not a black Mamba. Yeah. A candy Mamba.
Yeah, strawberry.
I snuck in a Mamba. Oh, I set up a joke. Steiny doesn't listen. Guru's eating.
Oh,
candy.
I heard it. I
thought you had 2 minutes. Spadoni's
half asleep, and Kyle barely showed up today. So, back to Berrettini.
I love you, Kyle. Yeah.
Back to the French.
Oh boy.
Would you? What do you think, Steiny? Jump in and just laugh.
Is that what you're looking for?
Because I don't have buttons to do a fake laugh.
I need my own buttons. So fire Kyle right now. I can hit myself with my own. Thank you. Thank you, Diver Claus.
We do know there's injuries aplenty in the NBA. There's a story.
Yeah, organized team ailments, Steiny, OTA.
There you go. That's how we got to laugh at his material, man.
Feels better to me.
Oh, man.
Boy, that was funny.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Much better. Anyway.
And we got to go from the laugh track to talking about serious injuries in the NBA.
Back to the injuries.
There you go. There's more injuries this year in the NBA than ever before. Obviously, we talked about the 49ers injuries. And the bottom line is that in this story, the notion of the pandemic affecting injuries was undeniable. And the takeaway for me in this story was that if you can't train right, and you couldn't during the pandemic, you're going to get hurt, particularly soft tissue injuries. So you take the last year with NBA players, so the guys who weren't in the bubble, maybe weren't working out like they normally would. The football issues last year with a lot of the summer stuff wiped out. That's probably the reason why we're seeing more injuries this year in some sports, guys.
And I'll say this, LeBron James, guys, he was the founder of saying we're starting too soon. And I just thought about it after you said it, Dibs. Steiny, look what happened to him. And I know that could be a fluke injury. Look what happened to the Miami Heat, a team that, played longer than anybody in last year, and how their season ended. And Steiny, yesterday, the only point I was trying to make to both of you is that forget the other teams. If you're affiliated with the 49ers, injuries just keep coming up. And, I thought about your cars. They kept getting broken into. West Oakland BART. You were at a golf course. It was nothing you were doing. A few different places. Let's just leave it at that. But it wasn't you to blame. It just kept happening. And that's where I'm going. And I kind of, again, Dibs, like the fact that the Niners are just saying, you know what? On what I believe, let's just proceed with caution.
And it's one more day is all they had. So it's not like they bagged couple weeks. It was just the additional day. They were slated to have it next week as well. The last OTA for tomorrow, mandatory three-day minicamp next week. So ultimately, these aren't huge losses. And if you're feeling some kind of way about the injuries and the injury bug biting you, then this is, you know, the more prudent thing to do. Goo, you teased it before talking about break-ins, and we had Brian Anderson join us. What happened to you, Goo, real quick before we get to the top of the hour?
Oh, I was at the gym, and, you know, I caught myself coming from a family event where I had to be dressed up, and I do love my watches, and I had one of them. I won't call it expensive, but to me it was expensive watch, and I come back to the locker room to get dressed, take a shower. They broke in, stole that, and a couple credit cards. Not that you were going to get much, but that's what I would have did with my rack. Had you guys said, what would you did with your rack? I would have kind of tried to replace my watch. It happened a couple months ago. I didn't want to say
Where did this happen?
Oh, at the gym. I'll leave the gym nameless, but yeah.
That's smart. Smart. That's a veteran right there.
Yeah.
And now you got a lock on your locker, right?
And the drive home was just, who did it? That when theft happens or vandalism, who did it? You know, I wish I just had a life camera to follow. Who did it?
Thieves and vandals.
That's there
who.
You go.
Yeah, that sucks.
I don't like any of it, to be honest with you.
I did want to say, just to correct you a little bit, Goo, on me, my car was never broken into in West Oakland. It was broken into in Montclair and in Rockridge.
Oh, right. Yeah. I thought you were at the West Oakland BART. Okay.
No, I used to park at the West Oakland BART for 5 years. Nothing ever happened to my car.
Wow.
So much for stereotypes. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Station. The segment's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. All right, let's go out to the phones and talk to Royce Clayton, 17-year Major League Baseball veteran. He played five of those seasons with the San Francisco Giants. Royce, thank you so much for joining.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.